and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 428. How are we all doing? I'm resetting who was first. Never mind, Mike. Jonathan was first. Eve managed two Y's on hay. That's how much time he had. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. Hello, Tony. Tony, that was an epic mail. I will work my way through that and get back to you. Who else have we got? Hello, Renee. Simon. No. You're nowhere near 15th. I think you're in single digits. It's a good night, Simon. It is. Who else have we got? Hello, Paul. And hello, Pete. How's your mesh behaving? Has it improved? Has it settled down? Did it ever update? These are the questions we need answers to. So, what have we all been up to? What day is it? Oh, it's Monday, isn't it? It's been that kind of day for me. No, seriously, I have no idea what's going on. No idea what day it is at all. Mike, obviously, is in a webinar. What time did that start? I think it was 7 o'clock. I think he's going to miss the entire show. This is just what you call bad planning, isn't it? But if you could see my calendar, you'd probably have a cardiac arrest. It's not good. My calendar is not good. And to go in conjunction with my calendar not being good, you know your sleep thing? Well, it's not really sleep, is it? It's your active hours on your watch. The hours that you stood, mine's just up and down. You should see it. I will take a screenshot and I will put it in the Week at MacBite's headquarters. Oh, Kim's getting dinner. I've had dinner. Dinner was very, very nice. It was chicken wrapped in bacon with fresh vegetables. It was rather nice. Mike's abased himself. This is because I've got an 8 o'clock. So this is why. The best thing we can do with our calendar at the moment is just look at it and then throw a dart at it. Which is about what we've been doing. So there you go. Oh, yes. What is Kim having for dinner? We're all desperate to know what happened with Pete's Wi-Fi. Right. It was stuck updating overnight. Went for Renee's nuclear option. Reinstalled two nodes. Seems to be behaving now. See, that's what I said. If it doesn't work, nuke it, start again. I have had to do a couple of nodes like that where there is a reset thing underneath. Did I ever recreate the whole network? I don't think I did. From memory, I don't think I did. But one thing that I do, which I don't know if it's relevant to you, Pete, it's going to depend where your iMac is. But at the point you've got your cable in, the easy option is to go for probably what you've got, which is an automatic allocation of the DHCP. Let's go into the network preferences and see what it's got to say. Only actually it's probably not good on there because there is no cable. Let's see what it's got to say for its little self. Let's go into advanced. Right, where do we need to be? In the advanced settings of whatever. In this case, it would be your Ethernet option. It says configure IP version 4 and then next to it usually says using DHCP. And if you click on that, there's five options. Obviously, don't turn it off. That's not good. But the other four actually manually is probably a better way to do it, because that way, if the entire cabling, the entire network goes, there's no way that it can dole out IP addresses, that you can just carry on working because you've manually allocated an IP address. And that's what we do here. So when the network goes, Mike's like, I can't get this attached and I can't get that attached. I don't think this is working. And he said, but my Mac's working. And I said, I know, Mike, that's because we have manual IP addresses. It will continue to work. Just carry on. So that might be something worth thinking about for your iMac. CQ, Deb. How is life treating you? I was having a look at the Apple news today. Wasn't expecting that much, to be honest. One thing that caught my eye was, you know, these iPads, the iPad Pros that myself and Deb have on order for delivery sometime, never, that one. Seriously, it's getting ridiculous. At the weekend, I had a look because Deb said she got a dispatch date or what, you know, an arrival date, or at least a large time frame during which it might arrive or it might not. that. So while I was checking, I couldn't get anywhere, if you remember. Couldn't find the order. This is a bit of a panic. Even weeks and weeks away, it's a bit of a panic. So I went back a couple of hours later, as suggested. Still not there. Left it another couple of hours. Still not there. Went to bed. Got up. Still not there. Thought, this is a problem. Okay. After 18 hours, this is a problem. Went back yesterday. It's there. They're thinking at some point, third week in June, I think. So that's where we're at with that one. But in relation to that iPad, not long ago, they brought out the Magic Keyboard, didn't they? I think that was about 10 months ago, something like that. And it got me thinking. Obviously, if they change the form factor of the device considerably, like when it went from iPad 1 to iPad 2, you don't expect the stuff to be compatible. You know, the cases that you've got, the keyboards that attach. It's just not feasible. There's other times when that breaks, where the iPad is exactly the same, but they've changed the port on it, and now it won't stand up in the dock because there's an attachment on it. So I got thinking about this Magic Keyboard, because these things aren't cheap, are they? Aren't they about £350, £360? And there was, I don't like to say rumour, but it came out as fact that two things in particular aren't going to work with the new model of iPad. One of them was the Magic Keyboard from the 2020 iPad. And the other was the dock. There was this dock. We were all billing and cooing over it, if you remember, not that long ago. Was it Belkin? I think it was Belkin. And that won't fit either. Anyway, since then, there's been an update on it, because what I was thinking was, how acceptable is it that you buy the device and then you buy a toy for it, an accessory for it? You know, and if it's a case at a tenner, fair enough, get another one. But if it's a case and integrated keyboard and it costs an arm, a leg and a kidney, is that acceptable if the iPad has only changed fractionally? And that's the issue with this new iPad. It's only changed fractionally, but I think it's the camera bump that's causing a problem with the case. So you'd really have to, if you wanted it to be perfect, you'd have to stump up the same amount again for a new one. Do we think that's acceptable? This is now saying that there is a video out there that's showing how compatible the 2020 Magic Keyboard is with the M1 iPad Pro. And it looks like there's a bit of a bump on it. So it sort of fits, but not quite. What do you reckon? Oh, the IT crowd. Love that. Absolutely loved it. Did I see it the first time round? I don't think I did. But I think it was the first episode, and he answers the phone and like blah, 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 blah. Have you turned it off and on again? And then hangs up. I thought, that sounds like me. When I was working as a lawyer, and I would not only get all the lawyering calls, I'd also get all the, I can't print this letter out calls. Yeah, it got old fast, I can tell you. Oh my. So what do you think? Do you think it's acceptable that Apple change it just fractionally enough that the gear doesn't fit and you've got to buy new gear? I reckon that's going to depend on whether you are selling the kit. So if you had the last, that's another point. If you had the last revision of the iPad, would you be buying another one? This is totally irrelevant for me because I do not have a 12.9-inch iPad that is of the new style. I had revision 1 and revision 2, did not have revision 3 or 4. And I know Jonathan, which one did you have, Jonathan? Was it 12.9 or the 11? But neither of us upgraded last year. So I do not have the new one, and I did not have the one before that. I know it's progress and you can't stop it, but it really is adding to the cost, sometimes to the degree of doubling it. Now, depending on the case that you've got, if you had the desk stand and you had this keyboard case, be it a bridge one or an Apple one, whatever you've bought, and it just fractionally doesn't fit the new one, the price of those two peripherals alone added together are probably equal to the iPad. So what do you reckon? Oh, Deb's already ordered the new bridge. Due to the thickness of the new one and some of the newer features included in it. Excellent. But what are you doing with the other one? Are you keeping it as like a secondary device, in which case it would need its own keyboard and stuff? Because I'm not sure how well, if you were going to bundle up what you'd got to sell it on, Apple are offering that like part exchange thing, but one, they don't give you that much. And two, I'm assuming it's only the iPad. And you could have invested, as I've just said, as much money in accessories as you spent on the iPad. So the only way to recoup any of that would be to sell it on yourself. And the problem with that is, like I'm saying, I'm not sure how well that would keep its value. The iPad would. I've looked at some second-hand kit lately. Good grief. It's almost as expensive as brand new stuff. So it does tend to keep its value well. But what about the peripherals? Hello, Sarah. Do you know, Simon, that's quite right. If we could just all arrange like a holiday together. Obviously, we don't know each other, not sitting next to each other and all of that. It's like all our friends are going out today because the pubs are open. We really need to reevaluate our friends. But they're all going out and they're not allowed to go together. But they're all going to rock up at the same time and pretend they don't know each other and wave to each other. Did I miss the memo on this? Because that just sounds ridiculous. If you want to sit there and wave to each other, why don't you just Zoom? There's an idea. Oh, but I know somebody who went to America, deliberately left space in the suitcase and intended to buy an iPad and a laptop while they were out there. And it worked out cheaper to do that, even though when you got back, you would have to buy a new charger. So what he did was he took the stuff out of its boxes because, you know, that's a bit of a giveaway, isn't it? Took the stuff out of the boxes and sent the boxes on to himself. So he arrived back before the boxes did. So they had all the gear in them and stuff. I think he left the chargers with the person he was staying with and said, you might as well have these, and got new ones when he got back. And it was still cheaper. And I mean by... it was a laptop, so it was almost £3,000, and I think it was £600 cheaper, which paid for the flights. So, yeah, you're quite right. I'm wondering if there's a limit on how much kit I could bring back. I mean, I don't really need clothes in a suitcase, do I? Only to insulate all the kit. I know you're not supposed to do it, but let's be honest, if you had the opportunity, you would. You know you would. Oh, Tony's got the 12.9 last year with a magic keyboard, but intend to grab the new one. Yay! Use a second generation 12.9 as the dirty kit when you're in a building site doing surveys. Oh, do you know, when we had our extension built, that the guy was, he was project managing it, allegedly. It was a local company and they'd been there for years, and that's why we decided to use them. Because, you know, all this, you can get quotes online. You know, we know a couple of people who did that, and they did go for like the best quote. One was my hygienist who, they either sold the house, I think they sold it because she moved to Australia. I don't think it was anything personal to do with me, but you never know. She got this like offer from the internet and took it. Meanwhile, we went with this local guy, and you know, it cost quite a bit more. But it started off as let's have a conservatory, and it ended up as no, let's build an extension. So hence the price difference. Just as well, what she wanted in hers, we have got a dining table in it, and a sofa, and a reclining chair, and a fire. And obviously, this, when I say sofa, it's a dog sofa. She decided that. But ours has been up 6 years this year. I can't believe that. 6 years. You know why I can't believe that? It's got 10-year guarantee. So I'm very mindful. But hers have been up 5 minutes. It was supposed to take 2 weeks to build. It took 6 months. And the first day she had it in, they put a dining table in it. And they came back in from work to find this dining table swimming. It was leaking. Oh, yeah, so that was great fun. But he was clueless with tech. So he could, like, look at it and say, oh, yeah, that'll do. And there was this, the plan was like on the back of a fag packet. Then it was how the windows were going to open, and I wanted them opening the opposite way. So there was all of that to deal with. And in the end, I said to Mike, you know, I'm not at all sure his vision is my vision, especially not when I went down for lunch and found they'd put the door in the wrong place, which then had to be dismantled and put back in the right place. Well, while we were in the middle of it, the iPad arrived. It was the first gen 12.9. So I used OmniGraffle to do a side elevation of the extension and a front elevation of the extension. And when he came, I said, right, look, let's make sure we're on the same page here. And I handed him this iPad. And, you know, it was the first 12.9. So people were used to a 9.7-inch iPad. And he just went, wow. I think half of it was the iPad and half of it was the fact that he was holding proper plans in his hand that I'd done. Oh, great, great fun. So I can appreciate that. The guy that came to measure up for the carpet was pretty amazing, though. He had a laser measure, which I'd never seen in use. I'd seen them for sale, but thought, you know, I'm quite all right with an old-fashioned one. That was pretty cool, though. I did like that. So I might have to buy myself one of those. Deb had to give up with a few things in the new year. And Renee has a Logitech iPad 2 keyboard case. The only keyboard case I've ever had for the iPad, I think it was for iPad Cyril. If you don't know the history of iPad Cyril, we had iPad 1, we had iPad 2. And when iPad 3 came out, the difference between 2 and 3, the difference between 1 and 2 was the magnetic cover, which was fantastic. And then when the 3 was touted, it was that it had a retina display. And Mike was like, oh, I'm not bothered, not bothered. You know, my eyes aren't good enough, I'm not bothered. And I was like, I really fancy this. But I thought, can I have 3 iPads in 3 years? So I ordered it and I didn't even tell him. So there I'm sat, delivery day, waiting for it to arrive. But when the event was on that announced this third gen iPad, we were like, oh, you've already got 2, you don't need another one. You know, what would you call it? You'd be running out of names. And Jane in the chat said, how about Cyril? So it became a bit of a joke that, you know, you would call your iPad Cyril. Only when this iPad arrived, I did indeed name it. Not even just Cyril. Its full name is iPad Cyril. And it has been iPad Cyril ever since it arrived. But I think I treated him to a keyboard case. Not a bridge one or anything fancy. Just like, what have Amazon got that's cheap? Let's go for that and see what it's like. And it was pretty decent. But I must admit, I'm not one for propping it up and actually typing. I might do more now because I've got, I wish you could see the desk now. I've got 7 screens open at the moment doing various things. I'm actually in 3 sessions at the moment as well as talking to you guys. I'm not paying them much attention, but you know, they're there. So I'm much more likely to pull an iPad out and then want to type. But what I do is I use the keyboard, the Matthias keyboard, the one that Simon did the best unboxing ever of, that one. And that one will work with 4 devices. So 1 key is on the Mac and I've got 3 others. I think they're on 3 different iPads, but I can never remember which ones. But, you know, I'll find them. So I've never really tried any of these fantastic keyboards that come out. But the Bridge gets really good reviews, doesn't it? Oh, what's gone on here? Let's have a look at that. Americans do that with pricey sports cars from Europe. I did not know that, Kim. Good grief, a car's cheaper here. That's unusual. In order to dodge import duty, my friend used to go to the US with a guitar case with a terrible, terrible guitar in it and then buy some fantastic vintage one, put the tragic one in a bin and fly back with the new one. It would cover its flight costs. Wow. Do you know, it's amazing. Things are so much cheaper that it covers the flight cost. Unbelievable. I know people who, before the iPad was released in America, quite a considerable time, good couple of months, I think, before it was released in Europe. And I know people who flew to the States just to buy an iPad and fly back again. And you wonder where the planet's in the state it's in. Ah, there's Timmy wrapping himself up in his green eco-friendly flag. But for people who are prepared to do it, where clearly money is more valuable than time, they're actually funding tech tourism by having that price differential. And you know, when quizzed about it, they all say the same thing, just like Adobe. And I hate this phrase from Adobe. They charge different prices in different geographies. It's a virtual product. But their argument is we charge what the market will bear. That means we're just going to gouge you where you've got more money. That doesn't make it any more valuable than it does to somebody who's got less money, though. So depending on where you are, you will pay less for it because, you know, the market won't bear that. If that's the product you need, what are you supposed to do with it? Seriously, if you need Creative Cloud to do your job, to be a freelancer, do your job, you can't make a protest. And the people that are with you in that country may want to protest with you. But again, you've got a job to do and you can't do that. So it's not what the market will bear. It's what you're charging and people, you know, are not going to eat. They're going to have to save up to have it because of the price you're charging. But, you know, across the road, you're charging a lot less. I don't like that. Don't like that at all. I ship the cars back via ship and it's still cheaper. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Right, I've got that link from Pete, so I will put that there, but I won't play it, obviously. Otherwise, we'd all be watching it 10 times, but I will put that there. Have a look at. There we go. Oh, the IT crowd love it. Oh, and that guy, I'd forgotten him. Oh, I know who else was in that as well. The guy who plays Henrik Hansen in Holby City. He was the boss. There's so many idiots in it. Like the one that they made head of IT who knew nothing about IT. Oh, everywhere I've ever worked. Not even kidding. Oh, my. That was a good show, that. That one was very, very good. It's the way to go, travel shopping. Why don't we just make the prices equal everywhere? I hate that anyway, but I love the guitar story. Because, you know, you can say, well, I went out with it. You know, it's on the list of luggage. I went out with it. Oh, especially if it's vintage. They might think that you want to buy a new one, but if it's a vintage one, oh, then you'd probably get away with that even more. Oh, it took Tony 30 years to get a laser, but you won't be without it now. Also, Bosch have a free app that you can draw the plan out on. Click on the line and the laser puts the measurement into the plan. Oh, might have to have a go at that, Tony. Our entire house needs new carpets, apart from the extension, which is brand new. But everywhere else, what our problem is with carpets is all the equipment that's in the room, that the whole lot would need shifting. I mean, unless you're prepared to lay it in two halves. Can I just move the stuff to one end of the room? You lay the one half and then I'll move the stuff back and then you can lay the other half. There's just too much stuff. There is seriously too much stuff. My mum was I don't know where she learnt, but she used to lay the carpets. She would go out, she would find a carpet at like... We had one here called, I think it was just Sale Carpets. Ever a tiny shop, but fantastic stuff inside. The last one we went to, because I wanted black, and they didn't make a black carpet. This was years ago. About 30 years ago, you could not get a black carpet, and I wanted black. But it was in the late 80s, so what you could get was that, like, geometric pattern stuff. It had like diagonals on it in a colour. So if you imagine you've got a blue carpet with red diagonals on it, it sounds hideous, but, you know, suspend your disbelief. So we're going, it's like, no, we don't do black carpet. Nobody wants black carpet. Yeah, I want black carpet. So we went in and the guy said, no, I've got no black carpet. And then he said, hang on a minute, I've got something that might work for you though. So we went to find this roll of carpet and he said, something had happened to this. You know, like they're on a really big roll. And there was like a bit left at the end, enough for a room, but probably only just, maybe like 5 metres, something like that, 5 or 6 metres. So he said, technically, it's blue. He said, yeah, well, that's not black. He said, and it's got a red diagonal. And we went, and that's not black. He said, no, but the end of the roll somehow got misprinted and the red dye was put on top of the blue dye. He said, and it's black and I can't get rid of it because nobody wants a black carpet. So he said, I'll bring it out, you know, have a look at it. He had a look at it and he went, oh, you know, just give me 20 quid for it. He said, I can't get rid of it anyway. And I have my black carpet. So, yeah, which was grand. until I got a white dog. Yeah, lack of forward planning there. But Lola's been good. She has not blown her coat. You know, a few weeks back we were saying she was starting to blow. She started to blow and then she stopped. So nothing like last time where we were, you could have knitted a carpet from it. Nothing like that at all. So now I've got a very, very, very dark grey carpet in the extension and my black carpet. And I've got a black carpet with a pattern on it in the studio that's about 4 inches thick because we're using it as sound dissuasion of the sound coming up through the floor. Although in hindsight, should have actually had a proper soundproof floor put in. Which, do you do soundproof floors? You might have to come up here and stay for about 6 weeks and do the whole thing. But for the rubbish in the rooms, that would be viable, wouldn't it? I might have to hire another house to put the stuff in, to have the carpets laid, to then put the stuff back. I know if I did it, I'd be amazed and I'd love it, but maybe either it's like, you know, lockdown exhaustion. Or I'm at the point where, like, you know, I can't face it. I can't face it. Oh, I must try that thing, though. Because I was, with a laser, I was like, how accurate would it be? Because my mum was down to the last millimetre. And she could lay a mean carpet. You know, Dad didn't like that. Because we'd get the carpet and she'd be in the garden with it, weighing it up. Like how she was going to do the whole landing and stairs, which to me, I just thought was like magic. How can you look at a square of carpet and like plan it like that? But she did. She was amazing. But my dad hated it because the neighbours were watching as though he doesn't know what he's doing. See, she's doing it again. Dad didn't like that. He did not like the neighbours thinking he was incapable. He was clearly incapable, but he didn't like the neighbours knowing it. But I'm going to have to try one of those now. I've not tried anything like that, Deb. The Otterbox. Oh, I did see something neat today, though. Oh, I did. We were discussing using Scanner Pro, the app. And one of the issues was getting consistency with it. Because obviously, if you're using an iPad or you're using a phone and you're trying to scan stuff, you've got that problem of your hand waving over the top while you're trying to capture whatever it is. And I found this. Now, it's all its money, I'll grant you. And I'm sure there are cheaper alternatives. But how cool is that if you're using that for a scanner? And it even folds up flat into a little box. I mean, it's grossly overpriced for what it is. But the principle's there. Oh, hence the shelf that goes up and down. So you can use any device. And it would solve the problem with the documents that are bigger than A4 as well. Not much bigger than A4, I'll grant you, but if they're marginally bigger than A4, you'd probably get away with it. Quite liking that. I don't like the idea of it being plastic, though, so I'd really, really like to see it. It's one of the things I'd like to see in real life. But I love the fact that, you know, it does it two ways. You can even do it from a book stood up. I still think Anthony's solution is way better. But, you know, if that was a lot cheaper, that wouldn't be a bad idea at all. Oh, Simon's back. Hello, you're back again. Right, let's catch up. Let's go back up here. Don't buy anything. Talk to you first. You can get delivery to the door, but not by Wendy. The guy that came to fit it was amazing. He really was. I'd never seen anybody else fit a carpet. I think he took about 40 minutes, 45 minutes. But it was a conservatory 3 foot wide. Well, extension now was a conservatory. 3 metres wide, and I think it was 6 metres long. So it was. He had to get it round the kitchen step, the back door, you know, the like personnel door, out from the extension into the garden, and the patio doors. But other than that, it was pretty reasonable because I hadn't put the fire in. He was like, well, put the fire in, I'll work around it. And I'm like, no, just put the carpet down. And he said, oh, it'd be a much neater job if I went round the fire. I said, and then when I have to take the fire out because it's broken and I have to put a different size in, then it'll be a bugger of a job. And he went, I'll put the carpet in, you put the fire in later. That's what we did. I will hold you to that, Tony. I will get advice this time instead of coping by myself, or not, as the case may be. I think we waited 2 years, possibly three, before the carpet went in. You know this thing of you've got to let the plaster dry? It was bone dry by the time we did it. But because we needed to paint it first, and they were saying, oh, no, no, get the carpet in, get the carpet in, you can paint it later. And I'm like, are you an idiot? Are you a card-carrying idiot? I've never known a paint job where there's not some kind of accident, either in terms of, like, just a misted spray that you barely notice, but you will do, or somebody upends a tin of paint. Oh, you can lay like sheets, plastic sheets. They've got breathable holes in. You know, if somebody drops 5 litres of paint, we're going to know about it. So we waited. Oh, it was joy when it went in. I think we had it in about 3 weeks before Christmas. And it was like, oh, wow, we finally finished it. So we do love it. Oh, you send fitters up to Manchester. Whoa, quick step. Not heard of them, Tony, but you clearly have. I think the guy I had was freelance. And oh, where do we buy it? It was one of the ones, it was comical, because it was one of the ones that they're always saying that big carpet companies will go bust. And I said, well, there's that little one, and they've been there years. But you're like, someone said, let's just go to the big one. I think it was Carpet Right. But you know how every now and then it's like, oh, Carpet Right are about to go bust. So I said, well, we'll put it on the credit card. And then if they do, get the money back. But I think you paid the fitter separate. So they clearly don't have their own fitters. You know, they just arrange when it's going to be delivered, and then he turns up to fit it. We did have quite a bit left over that we wanted to turn into rugs because it's a really good carpet. Apparently it was £1 a metre to have it stitched at the edges. And it was like, wow. And you think, you know, if you've got this piece of carpet, it's like 2 metres by 1 metre. That adds quite a lot to the price, doesn't it? So I think we've still got the bits left. You know, just in case. Because we've got this big mat in there. Lola loves it. But then Lola's got dirty little muddy paws. And it's funny, she hops over the back step, lands on the mat. But then when she's coming into the kitchen, instead of jumping over the step, she puts her feet on the step. And the step originally was red. It's like red brick. And I painted it black. I had to rebuild it first. That's another long story. Just how quickly quick drying cement actually sets. About 2 seconds, I think. But I sorted that out. And then as we were going on holiday for about 5 days, this was about 3 years ago, we were painting as we went. As we were backing out from upstairs, we painted the toilet floor. And then as we went down, we painted in the hall. And then we got to the back step. I said, make sure you've got everything, because I'm now painting the back step. But the paint just doesn't stick these days. It's got no lead in it. So honestly, the thing just peels off. So I'm going to have to deal with something like that. I did, Tony, and I mentioned it as soon as you came in. You must have missed it. I said, whoa, what a story. I will have a deep look at that and get back to you, was what I said. Right, what else have we got? catching up. Oh, Tony balances a phone on two boxes with books on the top to scan documents. With the undercounted kitchen lights on near at home. Oh, fantastic. Do you know, it's the same principle. I seriously considered, I saw a scanner and I thought it was a very interesting concept. Whereas that link I sent where it's on its side and you're scanning a book, this thing was a table and it had like glass on the top with a notch for the phone to go into. And the book, it was for a library, this thing, and the books couldn't be laid flat because of the spines. So they had the thing in a V shape underneath this table. But the thing was, you know, obviously it was quite big, but you could use it as a table at the same time. And there was lights in it and stuff. Very, very cleverly done. But then I saw Anthony's and I thought, you know what, that's the way to go. Don't piddle around, woman. Just go get the one Anthony's got. But I haven't done that yet because I'm up. Well, you should see the state of the place. I did a bit of a tidy up, you know, like a stash and dash. Does anybody else stash and dash? A stash and dash is where you grab everything that's in the way And you like shove it in somewhere, a box or a bag. That's the stash. The dash part is you're doing it quickly because you need the space for something else. So I did a stash and dash with two boxes. And one had a load of paperwork in that was for scanning that had just sat there and sat there and sat there. It's easy if it's A4. It's not bad if it's A5. But if it's anything odd in terms of being bigger than that, it's a pain. I do have a flatbed scanner, but it's been gathering dust for about 5 years. So that's why I was thinking of a different scanner that was bigger. Anyway, these two boxes disappeared and now I needed them back. So now in the office, I've got a spare table, an outer of four boxes that haven't been assembled. A cool bag next to me because it's absolutely swelteringly, oppressively hot. Not nice hot, oppressively hot. Three bottles of water, three of these boxes. There's just about room for me and the dog. Oh, and of course, all the computers. There's 5 computers and 14 iPads and whatever Mike's got stashed. So, yeah, we needed to do a stash and dash. Renee does that every day. My mum was a menace with the stash and dashes. She really was. It was usually when my grandmother was coming because my grandmother was quite, not picky in a nasty way, but she had two daughters. And I don't know what was in her mind, but she used to play one off against the other. So when she came here, she'd be saying, oh, you should see our Maureen's house. It's lovely. And they've just had this done and they've just had that done. And mum's seething. And the thing was, when she went to my auntie, she'd say, oh, you should see our Eileen's. It's lovely. They've just had this done and they've just had that done. And my aunt and uncle were like, I don't know why my grandmother did that, but she did. So what mum would do was, particularly at Christmas, it was like, right, like Christmas Eve would come about 3 o'clock. Right, up off your backsides and go stash and dash. And honestly, you'd be like, where did the TV remote go? Oh, it's probably one of the bags. So we're like, I'll just go to the understairs cupboard. And then you open the door and like 19 bags fall on top of you and you find the remote control and then you shove all the bags back. I can't be doing with that myself. I can't. Oh, my. Oh, Renee's got a turbo scan. I need to look at scanners. I do. I really do. bad words are said. You've got a whipping machine in the shop just for that reason. I'm making bespoke car mats. Oh, no problem, Tony. Now, as long as you've got your sound back, and yes, I have. Process of edging the carpets is known as whipping. Oh, my. You heard a dodgy carpet sales guy asking an attractive young lady, would you like the whipping, madam? Oh, talking of that. You know, this concept of everyday sexism was on a session today. So particularly ladies, let me know what you would think of this, because I don't think the guys would particularly have noticed. But if you would, then let me know. So we started this session and the guy was probably about 25, 26 years old. He's from America. I'd say down south, because he kept saying y'all for you all. Anyway, he gets going and everyone that came in, well, everyone that was male got greeted. Yo, bro, how you doing? Yay, brother. Right, man. Okay, dude. And I'm like, what the hell have I walked into? Anyway, he carried on like that. Everything was like, dude, bro, brother, man. And he was only talking to the men. And I thought, this is really grating on me. So I mentioned it to Mike, and Mike's first attitude was, oh, well, you know, I say guys, but I mean everybody. And I say, well, I say guys and mean everybody. I say folks and I mean everybody. I said, but let me just realign that for you, Mike. I said, let's imagine that you've logged into a session and the presenter's a lady. And predominantly in the room, there was about 50 people, about 35 were men and 15 were women. I said, so imagine you've logged in and there's 35 women and only 15 guys. And the lady doing the presentation says, yo, sister, glad that you're with us, sis. Excellent girl. And he went, oh, God, that's not on. But he didn't think it was bad when it was all maleisms. But I mean, I wasn't offended, but I did think, you know, if you're doing a presentation, keep it neutral, because there's no need not to. Every time he spoke, he either prefaced the sentence with man, boy, great dude, or he ended it with it. And I thought, you just don't need it. It's just something that's not needed. And when I looked at the chat, in the chat, I don't know, again, if you must have been on sessions and seen this, people are putting pronouns at the end. And I must admit, I get so confused. Obviously, if it's he, him, fine. And she, her, fine. Them, they, or is it they and them? Whatever, I'm fine. But I saw one the other day and it said she, they. And I thought, now I'm just confused. Now I'm just confused. So I make it totally neutral. And I will even say, you know, Claire said, blah, 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 they said. I would do that automatically now. And it is difficult to do. You make a mistake and you don't mean to make a mistake. You know, I've got a trans friend and I knew this person when they were a she. And despite, and this is years ago, I mean like 15 years ago, and I still sometimes slip and say she when I mean he. And you wouldn't find anybody who looked more masculine now, but it's in your head. So it's very difficult. I appreciate that. But you'd have to rein yourself in, surely. If it got to the point it was that noticeable. I would say Deep South, Renee. I don't know if it was Texas. It sounds annoying. Do you know, he had some good information, but it was really overwhelmed by the kind of, maybe he was trying to do like an upbeat delivery, which I get, you know, I do obviously get that. That's my job. But I don't think it helps. And I noticed no lady spoke in the chat. None. Nobody said a thing. And I thought, I know why, because I know how this is making me feel. And I'm not a snowflake. I'm not going to worry whatever you call me. You can call me he if you like. I'm not bothered. I've been called worse. But it was just how, if it had been once or twice at the beginning, fair dues. But it wasn't. It was that noticeable. It started to grate. So, yeah, it was annoying, I can tell you. It was annoying. But never mind, it's all over now. At least it is until next week. I did notice it last week, but I thought maybe he's nervous. You know, leave him be, he's nervous. But to just, it feels like fake hype because you're just adding words for the sake of adding words. But I'll keep my eye on it. But Mike wasn't in the slightest bit bothered. It was like, well, you just have to get used to it. It's a generic term. And then when I turned it around, he went, that's not right. That's bad. I thought, that's you, Mike. Oh, dear. Right. I'm going to get that link from Anthony. Is this the scanner? I did like that scanner. Quite fancied it. Oh, and as luck would have it, I've got a £100 voucher for Amazon. Little gift. That would take that down considerably, wouldn't it? Oh, and look at that. If you order today, it would arrive on Wednesday, which is my birthday. Oh, quite liking that. No, leave it for now. You do not need to be doing it now. But I see one of those in my future. Does it scan as fast? You said, I think you did a book and it was 30 minutes. You don't have to process the pages individually, I presume. You kind of push a button and it does the pages, then you turn over and you push a button again, it does more pages. And then it's collating the pages on the computer. Is that how it's working? Oh, can you see how tempted I am? Naughty, naughty me. there are many puns in the trade. Oh, Tony. Well, the guy that came here was very pleasant. He was very, very pleasant. We were talking about where his kids went to school. And he lived in Withenshaw, which is not far away, but it's the kind of area where the dogs walk round in twos. So you get the idea. But he was a lovely bloke. Oh, right. And for Pete's guys, it's a gender neutral term. No, guys, isn't a gender neutral term. I'm with you, Pete. That's what I should do, isn't it? That is excellent advice, Pete. I tend to treat guys as just meaning people. So I wouldn't be offended by guys. I wouldn't be offended by folk. There's a lot I wouldn't be offended by. And I wouldn't say I was offended. It was just one of those things. I think it's bad when you start to notice it. It's just, and it really wouldn't matter whatever the word was. It could have been a word for something else entirely. If that word is overused in a 90-minute session, I should have done the take a drink every time he said it. But I'd probably be paralytic by now. So it was just the noticeability of it, really. But oh, that's a good way to work it out, Pete. I should have tried that one on Mike. should have asked Mike to come in. Beatboxing while telling his story. He's still webinaring, his poor Mike. A throwback to North Chicago, to the North, Chicago or Michigan. Oh, I don't know. I'll try and find out where he's from. Guys can be very gender neutral depending on how it's used. Well, yes, Kim, that's my take on it. But used it in the context that Pete's managed to use it. No, it's not, is it? Which I love. Oh, dear. Tracy hates the use of guys, meaning people. Oh, dear. Well, at the start of the show, I always say, how are we all doing? That's completely neutral, isn't it? Oh, I just think guys is I guess it depends on the context. In a professional meeting, no, I wouldn't say guys. I know many people who do, but I wouldn't say guys, no. You've got to be so careful with every single sentence these days. Which I try to be, but you know, you've got a lot going on. I've had this issue with Zoom, which I've just managed to fix. I had to do a test session with Mike to try and get this thing fixed. And in essence, what they've done is they've put the preferences for screen sharing together. So what I mean by that is there's two contexts for screen sharing. You're either in a session and somebody is sharing their screen with you, or you're in a session and you are sharing your screen. And you would think that that was more difficult, but that's fine. There's no problem with that. It's the second use that was the issue. So somebody's sharing their screen with me, and every time they share their screen, my computer locks up for typing. And there is a way to fix it, but you've got to go and find the option. And the options for sharing, you sharing your screen and other people sharing with you, are in the same section of the dialogue box. I said to Mike, that's idiotic. One should be you screen sharing and the other should be somebody else screen sharing. And those options should be separate so you know what you're ticking and why you're ticking it. Instead of which, you're making a guess. So I think there's three or four options that are to do with how your machine behaves when somebody shares their screen with you. Why would you put those in the screen sharing section when all the rest of the options are to do with you sharing your screen? No wonder people have accidents with Zoom. At least we've not had any more when we were Zoom jacked. That's not happened again since. Although, having said that, I did log into that session today to find out that it said this meeting is scheduled for the 19th of April. And I thought, are they using the same room? I don't know. Anyway, yes, they were when they finally rocked up. Like I say, you couldn't make it up. The stuff that goes on today. Ladies and gentlemen doesn't cover it anymore these days. It doesn't, Renee. Good grief, if you said that, you could be hounded out of the place. You just have to be careful. I mean, I don't take something as an insult unless it's meant as an insult. So if somebody said guys, I wouldn't necessarily be insulted. This was the fact. It was subtle. It was subtle, this, that it, because he wasn't talking to any of the women, none of the women were talking to him. And I thought, I know why they're not, because they don't feel comfortable. So it was a bit of a hostile environment. Not in a nasty way. He didn't mean to be hostile. But do you know what made it worse? He didn't even know he was doing it. And I thought, you know, he was trying his best. But he's inexperienced. That much is self-evident. And you don't want to put him off completely by saying, excuse me, but you do realise how hostile this environment is. But it really was, despite the fact he was trying to make it upbeat and welcoming. So, yeah, it didn't end well, that one. And I thought, none of the women are going to tell him, because you'd just be seen as a snowflake. So I thought, I'll just ignore it. But rather than getting engaged in the session, you know, I'm not going to chat in the chat because I don't feel welcome. And like I say, he was ignoring any woman that was in the chat anyway. And I thought, you know, the guy's only 25, 26. Don't know what's happened to you, mate, but you really do need to get a grip of yourself. Oh. The reason Simon hates guys, meaning men, is at the foremost exponent of the term guys and gals. Oh, Jimmy Savile. And he wasn't picky either, was he? Oh, what an odious little man he was. I was quite put off him as a kid. The cigar that he always had really put me off. And the things he said, you thought, how is he getting away with it? But everyone was laughing. So you just thought, well, it's just me. Oh, no, odious little man. If it was a presentation for Women's Institute or on a very intimate female problem where only women were invited, would guys still be gender neutral? I may have used that. I may have done. But I would probably not. I think for me, it would be an age thing rather than a gender thing. Guys wouldn't go down well with an older audience. But with a younger audience, that is potentially better than ladies and gentlemen. Which you can't use now anyway. I think the safest is probably to say good morning to each and every one of you. And leave it at that. Walk away. Kim thinks, I will think about people's sensitive gender when there's no more genocide, war, sex trafficking, slavery and disease. It's down on the list of priorities, I guess. But I, you know, if somebody puts that they are they and them, then I will stick with that as best I can. And if I make a slip up, you know, it's an accident. But the beauty of Zoom is if they haven't got the camera on, I can't make a judgment anyway. So I will say they and them automatically because I just don't know. I mean, sometimes with a name, you do know. But having said that, we've got guys on this course. There's one guy called Alison and he's a he. We've got other names that I have no idea where they come from. One's called Colty. Colty. You would have no idea. You would have no idea. So maybe they and them. We can imagine how you feel about it, Kim. Women have to look after themselves because no one's going to look after you for you. I'm not taking it as... I'm not offended by it, but I'm wondering. You know, as a presenter, as a young man starting out on his presentation career, he needs reining in now. Would I tell him that? No, it's not my job to tell him that. And in the middle of a course, I wouldn't want him to get to a point where he's paralysed and then the standard of the presentation overall goes down because now he's petrified. So no, I will leave it be. It's not my job. Yeah, I'm on this course. I am not running this course. But I did sit and think, and what if you were? And I thought, if I was the presentation mentor in that situation, I would tell him. I would. And I would explain why. And then let's see how well that went. Oh, an American presenter once thought Tracy was a bloke. Oh, yes, there's Tracy and there's Kim as well. And Dale. Dale could be either. Alex. Yep. There's a lot, isn't there? Tony, but then usually that's got an I on it. Although Mike had a friend called Robin with a Y who was a she, but there was also Robin with an I and she was a she. So you can't really take on names anymore and know anything, can you? Oh, Simon can't be dealing with people's religious sensibilities. You don't want to offend anybody, but it's not up to you to study every religion in the world. It's not, and I don't take much in the way of... I mean, I think you can tell if something's meant to offend and something's just said that... In fact, I won't even say it offends. Just somebody who doesn't know that has a significance to you. But then you could have a trigger that's something like, you know, purple cats. Your trigger is very, very personal to you. Whose responsibility is it to make sure that you're not triggered? Is it your responsibility to avoid the trigger or everybody else's responsibility to avoid the trigger? And I think if the trigger is something that could trigger many, many people, it's probably your job to avoid it. But if you don't know about it, you don't mean any harm by it, then why would the person who is being triggered by it take it that way? I don't think I would. Right. Paul has met a male Tracy. I never have. I've met a male and female Dale many times. Aubrey's male, isn't it? I'm trying to think of anything else. Oh, I did meet a Steve, who was a girl, and a Michael, who was a girl. And that was quite unusual. I only ever won of each one. Oh. Renee is female gender when it comes from the French. I've got an aunt and it was pronounced Reenie, but it did have two E's on it. She wasn't the nicest person, to be honest. Pete likes Stephen Fry's comment on being offended. Oh, and Simon met a lady called Ronnie. Oh, there is a Ronnie. Wasn't she in EastEnders? She was a singer, wasn't she? I think. I've seen EastEnders all of like 5 seconds once. Although I did know, didn't I, about the file of facts that Mike mentioned the other day. I did know about that. I don't know how I knew about that. Literally have no idea how I knew about that, but I did. So, end of another day. Right, so Pete's saying it's now very common to hear people say, I'm rather offended by that, as if it gives them certain rights. It's actually nothing more than a whine. You find that offensive has no meaning, has no purpose. No reason to be respected as a phrase. You're offended by that. Well, what? I think people feel the need to kind of... that they feel they've kept it to themselves for a long, long time. They've never before challenged certain things. And now we've got Twitter and Facebook. It's as though, oh, hang on, this has levelled the platform. The playing field is now level. And if I don't like something, I can say I don't like it. Whereas before, maybe they wouldn't have said anything. I don't find that much offends me. I wasn't offended by this guy. I just felt, you know, by the end of this session, which is the second one. So I spent 3 hours in his company and I thought... I noticed this week there were fewer ladies than last week, and I thought it'd be interesting to see what happens next week. And half of me thought somebody should tell him, and then the other half thought, well, it's something to do with me. If I don't like what I'm hearing, then I have the right to leave. But if he's starting out on a speaking career, which he wants, then someone's going to need to tell him. Otherwise, people will be walking out and he won't know why, because no one's ever said anything before. They do ask for feedback. But sometimes when they ask for feedback, I don't know if you have ever had this, you provide honest feedback in a non-judgmental way. And it doesn't go down well. It's taken wrong. So what can you do? Oh, Tracy has an aunt, Ronnie. I think Ronnie's lovely. Yeah, my aunt, what was her middle name? I think it was Veronica. And she liked it because she didn't like her first name. She didn't like Maureen, but she did like Veronica. And she particularly preferred Ronnie. So, yeah, I get that. Right, okay. Oh, Sarah met a male Tracy. It must just be me. He didn't realise it could be a man's name. The temp receptionist kept thinking he was transferred to the wrong person. Well, that's a thing. Another thing that's been quite mentioned a lot lately, a real lot, was people who have an unusual name that other people can't pronounce. And I read this piece because I'm thinking some people say Elaine, some say Elaine. Doesn't really bother me one way or the other. I wouldn't correct anybody either way. It suits me. But there are more difficult names to say. And I thought, well, just tell people how to say it. And then I think it is incumbent upon people, if they want to talk to you, to say your name correctly. Anyway, this person in this article was saying that at school once, so there was, I think there were about 4 or 5 people in the article, and one said they were at school and the teacher couldn't say it and said, well, I'll call you Anne. And that was it. Everybody called this girl Anne, but that wasn't her name. And I thought, that's appalling. That is bad. Stuff like that happening, I would take the time. I mean, I if I don't know how to pronounce somebody's name, I'll get them to say it and I'll write it phonetically. And just remember it that way. But this course is interesting because we've got people from all over the world. And, you know, you're making notes and you're saying so-and-so asked a question. And then you're stopping and you're putting the name incorrectly. But on that page that relates to that person, I've got how to say their name phonetically. Because I think it's common courtesy to be able to say, you know, like please and thank you in languages. You know how good I am at languages. But please and thank you shouldn't be beyond you. And the same with people's names, but that's just me. Oh, Simon thinks there's a lot of winding people up in order to get them offended. Like it's as if flying of the Union flag. Right, I'm going to have to head off to my 8 o'clock. Anthony knows someone who can't say the A lady. I just changed the settings on their device. We were in a session today and somebody said they're doing a demo of asking the A-lady to do something, play like rain music, you know, like a track that's just rainfall. And that instead of saying the A-lady, they actually said it. And the next thing, because people's microphones were open, A-ladies across the planet were playing this music. Luckily, she then did come back and say, "The A-lady, stop." Oh, you gotta love that live Zoom sessions. I'm telling you, you do. Absolute classic. Right, people are piling in. So let's have a look. Will, is that Eileen? Or is it, yeah, Eileen. Not many people say that. It's usually Elaine or Elaine. The dentist says Elaine and everybody else says Elaine. I don't mind one way or the other. Right. You think the teacher should have practiced the child's name at home? The poor child. The thing was, as you went read through the story, the name, which I think I could have had a reasonable stab at pronouncing. It wasn't that difficult. But it had some meaning behind it, like a Maori name. It was deeply entrenched in meaning to the mum who had obviously named the child. And the child was fiercely proud of this name. Yes, it was unusual. But just to kind of strip a child of its identity is just not acceptable on any level. We had a girl in our class called Ailsa, which is a Scottish name, but not very common. I certainly hadn't heard of anybody called Ailsa. And without exception, every teacher got it wrong, which was ridiculous, given the fact that this girl's mother was a teacher at the school. So you'd have thought she'd have tipped them off. I mean, yes, they got it in the end. But there was, like, if a new teacher came in and actually got it right the first time, people were stunned. it was that common that people just didn't know it at all. I thought Simon was Troop, but I can understand people seeing the beginning and think Trout. I once had a manual that I'd written, a book that I'd written on project management, and the front cover had my business name on it. It also had my name on it. So the logo was at the top and my name was at the bottom. And obviously they knew my surname. And without exception, every course, people called me Rosemary. But my business isn't called Rosemary. It's called Roseway, as in the way of the rose. Roseway. But they just saw that, saw my surname with it, and I got called Rosemary. Which to me, you know, call me Rosemary. If it makes you happy, that's fine too. But it's not my name. But to me, that's like, how idle do you have to be to not actually read the person's name? But yeah, I got that a lot. 8 o'clock start. Yes, well, it's 3 minutes past, but they're having a countdown to let people in. I'm already in, but I can't hear a word that they're saying, so I hope he's not speaking to me. But yeah, I've got 1 minute to get in there. That'll do nicely, Simon. The EL from Elegant, that's fine. And Tracy thought it was Troop, but without the E. I think as long as it sounds reasonable. Are you being grumbly now? Oh, we're upright and we're after treats before the session. So I will head off into that. Good to have you with us. Mike will be back tomorrow, I do believe, as will the grumbly dog, as you can hear. But for the moment, I'm going to say a good night from me. I will say good night from Mike. Lola can say good night from herself. And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.